Let me hazard a guess here. If you were going to invite somebody into your home, you would probably want to put your best foot forward. Same thing if you were going to invite them to join a club or an organization, or if you wanted to interest them in some kind of activity, you would do everything you could to set that person at ease, to paint a picture that was enticing and appealing and engaging. You'd want people to be excited and at ease. We try to do this in the church. Indeed, there is a vast literature, an industry that has grown up to help congregations learn how to welcome people into their midst, not just to tolerate them, not just to say, if you like what's going on here, you can be with us, but to actually work to bring new folks in. We are, after all, called to be evangelists. And what better time of year to do that than in the weeks leading up to Christmas? Indeed, as your preacher, there's nothing I want to do more today than to stand up here and throw out my arms wide and say, "Welcome to Advent." But I find myself wondering if I'm going to welcome people and offer hospitality. Why did the people who put together the lectionary give me this passage from Luke 21 to preach on today? What are the images that come to mind for you when you think about Advent? A time of quiet, contemplation perhaps, the run-up to the birth of the Christ child, serenity and peace. And instead, what do we have here today? We have confusion, distress, fear, foreboding. Welcome to Advent. Maybe not. But what if these words from Luke 21 are not only the welcome we need to hear, but are the welcome that we've been looking for? We may have images of the pastoral when we think about Advent, but the gospel gives us the apocalyptic. Now, when I use that term, I am not using it in its modern sense, the cinematic variety that involves ill-tempered aliens or self-inflicted environmental devastation leading to the end of the world as we know it. I use that word in its scriptural sense. Apocalyptic being a genre of literature that signals a revelation. News being shared during a time of trial and turmoil and dislocation. News that is shared at a moment when people might despair, might wonder and fear what the future is going to hold. And the word that is offered is one of reassurance. Indeed, it is a theology of hope that is presented here. Were you listening carefully to Deb as she read the passage? In between the fear and the foreboding and standing before the Son of Man, there was a promise. It's right there in verse 28. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption, my redemption. And if God has promised us this, we know we can count on it coming to pass. We don't quite know when this text was written. Scholars have debated whether it was penned before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem or in the years afterwards. And so there's been lots of debate over the centuries as to whether or not this prophecy is pointing towards the destruction of the temple or some larger cosmic cataclysm. The reality is, we don't know, and we probably never will. But more pertinent, we don't need to. Because prophecy is offered up in Scripture is not about a prediction of an event to take place at a certain time, but it's a way of telling us what is going to happen, to give us a feel for the present and the conditions we are creating. It also gives us a sense of how God is going to act in the world. And what Luke wants us to know is that when God breaks into the world, everything changes. It's not just tinkering around the edges. This is wholesale, fundamental change of such great magnitude that only language of this type will suffice to begin to give us a sense of what is going to happen. God's coming. This is big news. And you notice what I said. God is coming. We might, during the season of Advent, be thinking about Christmas Eve and the birth of the Christ child in a manger 2,000 years ago. But this season isn't about readying ourselves to commemorate a distant past event. Instead, it is designed to draw us into the moment now, to live into the new reality that God started creating back then, but that is happening at this moment, and that will continue to unfold into the future that God is fashioning for you and me. Advent's not about the past. It's about the present, and it's about the future. There's good news here. With all of this change that's taking place, with the judgment that's going to occur, we're not going to be left alone. God will be with us. Indeed, if there's going to be a test, God is giving us the cheat sheet right here, the source code. We are told how to prepare, how to get ready. This is going to take a bit of work and a bit of doing. Indeed, talk about babies is especially apropos when we think about how to get ready. Think about the birth of a child. Hopefully, preparations are not left until the last minute. Usually, somebody has picked out a doctor or a midwife to deliver the baby beforehand, has decided where the delivery will take place. Maybe classes have been taken, books have been read, family and friends have been consulted, conversations have been held with people who are already parents to get a sense of what to do. Maybe a room color has been chosen, cribs have been assembled, names have been discussed and finally agreed upon. Lots of work. Lots of preparation unfolding over weeks and months before the arrival of the newborn. But if the new parents are wise and honest and have any common sense, they will recognize that for all the T's they cross and all the I's they dot, there will still be surprises. There will still be unexpected developments. And indeed, as much as one wants to imagine what it will be like to have this baby in one's life, imagination will never be enough to know the reality. It will have to be experienced. That's what's going on here. We are being told by Luke, it's big. You've got to get ready. You've got to start preparing. Do it now. And what is it we do? Well, we turn around from drunkenness and dissipation. I'm not overly worried about drunkenness and dissipation amongst the members of our church community. But what about the worries and cares of this world? Anybody here find themselves caught up in year-end projects, party planning, fellowship activities, figuring out when they might go down to 12A to do some shopping or sit down at their computer to buy some presents, who's going to sit where at Christmas dinner in a few weeks, who you want to have over, who you don't want to have over. Anybody? Anybody worried about the economy, politics, the environment, the Red Sox? There is something out there, I suspect, that is drawing you just as it is drawing me away from God. we are invited to do something else. We are invited to follow the way of Jesus, to follow the path of discipleship. It won't always be easy. There are no promises here that if you are faithful when the end comes, you are going to magically disappear up into some nice happy place and all the sinners will be left behind. We know from the experience of the church that the saints can suffer too. But whatever happens, God, Emmanuel, will be with us. So I hope we can look at this passage from Luke with fresh eyes. And that we do feel, you and I, that these are the words of welcome that we need and we want. And that we can say with joy and hope, and hear with joy and hope, welcome. Welcome to Advent.